I think this Jesus is the same one my mother told me stories about. If so, I was born a good 6 months before he was. And yet, it seems that he is much, much older than I. Heaven and earth were locked in some sort of passionate dance in those days. The angel Gabriel appeared twice in a few short months. Once to announce my impending birth to my father, and once to announce Jesus to his mother. Could it be that this angel was the very same Gabriel our ancestor Daniel encountered when he saw his vision of the future and was told about the Messiah? It's a fascinating thought to ponder. Anyway, Jesus' mother Mary came to stay with my parents for a few months before my birth. And as soon as Mary arrived, I'm told the Spirit of God filled us. My mother and Mary prophesied, and I'm told I leapt within my mother's womb. I marvel at that story. I knew him just by being near him while his tiny body was being formed. Now that I'm a full-grown man, how is it that my senses have somehow dulled? I've heard other supernatural stories surrounding Jesus' birth as well. How angels appeared to Mary's husband Joseph in his dreams, about prophets at the temple who recognized him and spoke to all about him when he was brought in to be presented, and even about the Magi from the east who learned of his birth by interpreting the stars, then traveled many months to come and pay him homage. But those are not my stories to tell. Gabriel told my father that I was to be the one known as the forerunner. I grew into my vocation and came to understand not too long ago that part of my calling was to baptize those in Israel who were eager to repent of their sins and commit themselves to the way of the Lord. People seem to understand the inherent link between repentance and being cleansed with water. After all, it's a common ritual in our culture to be cleansed from uncleanness by being immersed in water. I am a Levite, you know, a descendant of Aaron. My father was a proper priest who served in the temple. I might look like a grand departure from that. I dress in camel hair, which I don't really press. And I eat locust and wild honey. But anyone can tell you, I am following in my father's footsteps. Many people are too poor to bring an offering to the temple in order to be ceremonially purified, but they can come to me and accept a baptism for forgiveness of sins. A group of Levites from Jerusalem actually visited me and demanded to know who I was and what I was doing. I assured them that I was not the Christ, but I believed this fellow Jesus was after he came to me for his own baptism. I didn't recognize him at first, but the Lord told me I would know the Christ by the Holy Spirit descending on him and remaining on him. And as Jesus was baptized, I saw what looked like a dove fly down from on high, land on his shoulder, and stay there. I know the one I'm preparing the way for will baptize not with water as I do, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. I don't completely know what that looks like, but I know it is true. The more I heard about Jesus, the more real it all seemed. Several of my disciples left with my blessing and even began to follow him. Jesus' disciples also began baptizing others with water. And soon the people were flocking to them instead of to me. People wondered if I'd be upset about that. The answer is no. I know I am not on the same level with the Christ. If he has come, my work draws to a close as his work begins. However, I have to confess, I am wrestling with some doubts right now. If this is how the inauguration of God's kingdom begins, I have to say it's very different from what I had always envisioned. We Jews have imagined our Messiah to be a mighty king, setting the world aright. Rome is a strong empire, and our nation is crushed under its thumb. Is Jesus going to deliver us from Rome? Is he even going to deliver us from Herod's rule in our own province? I speak to you from my prison cell. Herod has had me arrested and effectively ended my ministry. Is this a prophet's reward? Well, historically, maybe the answer would be yes. But is this how the forerunner of the Messiah is allowed to be treated? It doesn't make any sense. Is Jesus going to begin his rule by triumphantly delivering me from Herod? Or is Jesus simply a prophet like me, and the Messiah is yet to come? I feel so conflicted at times. I go from being extremely confident, in fact, and bold, to actually questioning my entire path to this point. I decided to send two of my followers to speak directly with Jesus on this matter. Even if he won't intervene on my behalf, at least he might have compassion and help them to understand what he's up to.
John, we have returned.
And were you successful, my friends?
Yes, we found Jesus in Judea. There were stories about him doing wonderful things wherever he went.
And did he speak with you directly?
He did. He didn't seem offended that we had come to him again.
Did he mention your last meeting when you interrogated him about why his disciples don't fast?
He didn't mention it. Maybe he didn't recognize us.
Actually, I'm sure he recognized us. I believe he didn't hold it against us, though.
Perhaps he sensed our earnestness and humility this time around,
as opposed to our righteous indignation the first time.
Well, I, for one, can understand why you were confused, since I've always stressed fasting as essential for anyone serious about their faith. I think I understand Jesus' answer about not pouring new wine into old wineskins, but I still think you have a valid point. Fasting has always gone hand in hand with piety in our culture. Now Jesus tells us he can be pious and yet feast. He's flipping our expectations on their heads. So we need a little while to warm up to that.
Honestly, I'm still a little embarrassed about the whole thing, though.
Regardless, as you already said, Jesus didn't seem to hold anything against us.
And you asked him the question?
We did. I told him you had sent us.
We asked, are you the expected one?
Or do we look for someone else?
Very good. Thank you for being so bold on my behalf. And how did Jesus react? Did he seem put off by the question?
To the contrary, I think it touched him deeply.
How so?
He didn't reply immediately. He seemed to be pondering how we would answer.
But for several moments, he looked at us with such compassion that I was sure he knew Herod was the one that had imprisoned you.
But he didn't say anything about it?
Not a word, John. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess that's beside the point anyway.
I don't think so. If he's a Messiah, why does he ignore your predicament?
Is he the Messiah? Did he answer that question?
He did answer. But first he gestured for us to sit and observe while he ministered to the crowd. We saw many amazing things, just like the stories that had been circulating through all the land.
But what was his answer finally?
He told us to go and report to you what we had seen and heard, that as Isaiah prophesied, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
It is true. It's all true then. Jesus is the Christ.
He said one more thing, John.
And what more is there to be said?
He said this in parting, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me."
Oh, those words were meant for me and for all of us. God, forgive us for judging your chosen one by our own expectations. May our hearts and minds be open to seeing how Jesus' righteousness far surpasses our own. And may our faith be strengthened to embrace obedience, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in.